So I did say Job chapter 1. All right. So we're going to do a review with Job chapter 1, but it's so much. I told you I'm going to kind of take my time with it. So much as I was going over it. Now, this is, write this down, those of you that take notes. So when, as I was going over it again, God just really impressed upon me the spiritual warfare that we're in. It's just, we see it. Remember, Job was the, although it's in the middle of the Bible, it's, most scholars believe it was the first book written. And so then here's the first book written, and we look at the themes in it. Number one is spiritual warfare that we're dealing with. Job's name means hated or persecuted. Wow, imagine that. Your name means hated. Job was from the land of Uz, and which is near the Arabian Desert. So here we go in verse 1. There was a man, Job 1 and 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless. He was perfect. He was upright and one that reverenced God. He respected the awesomeness of God and he stayed away from evil. You can be hated. You can reverence God. You can love God and you can stay away from evil. As we continue to read, we noted that Job was great. He was godly and he was rich. So you can be great, you can be godly, you can be rich, and then his life fell apart due to no fault of his own. You can be doing all the right things in 2018. You can make your resolutions and all that, and you can be doing all the right things, and your life can fall apart due to no fault of your own. And you could be doing all the wrong things, and your life can still fall apart. It's better to be living with God and walking with God, at least when it falls apart. You know that you haven't created the big mess. So as we go down, and this is all review, we go to verse 4. And his sons went and feasted in their homes. Everyone as day and sent and called for their three sisters. Make a note, we've said in, during the holidays, to reach out to our siblings. Some of you haven't talked to your siblings in a while. Maybe it didn't go that well during Christmas. Maybe it didn't go that well at New Year's, but still reach out. Send a text message. I love you. I'm just thinking about you. No strings attached. Do not let another day go by that you haven't reached out to your family, your friends, your siblings, your parents, your kids, your grandkids. Reach out. Because we find out they're all going to be taken out. Verse 5, and in my opinion, what made Job so great is that he got up early every morning and prayed for his kids, prayed for his family. So make a note. We took the challenge already. For the first 10 days, we've prayed every morning for 10 minutes. Somebody say amen. Amen. Not because it's a religious thing, but because we want to stay connected to God all throughout 2018. And then I issued another challenge for the next 20 days. So let's just finish the month. Get up early, pray, and study your word. 10 minutes for 10 days. Amen. Oh, thank you, guys. This is tough. That's all I'm saying. 10 minutes for 10 days. And ask God for wisdom. Ask God for favor. Ask God for direction. About the relationship. About the job. About the ministry. About the business. About the kids. About the spouse. Parents, definitely pray for your kids daily. If not with them, at least for them. Husbands, pray for your wife. For your wife. Did I say wife? Pray for your wife. Daily. Wives, pray for your husband daily. This is what made Job great. Got up every morning, he prayed. He realized what was important. Although he had all that stuff, he knew that the most important thing was his relationship with his family and his kids. Verse 6, now there was a day. Make a note that we all have a day. Unfortunately, there comes a day. And here we get into the spiritual warfare, where the sons of God come to present themselves before God. And here is Satan, who's a fallen angel. He was Lucifer. Now he's Satan. And he comes too. We talked about the revelation that in some kind of way that God still dialogues with Satan. And Satan can dialogue with God. He has access to God. Some kind of way, Brother Jerry, in God's sovereign awesomeness, he still allows Satan to come and dialogue with him. And in all the stuff that Satan's done, he can still come and dialogue. And then here's the revelation in it. Satan will tell you and I, because of what we've done, God doesn't want to hear from us, and God will never want to see us, and God hates us, and then we'll believe that lie. And then he goes before God, and he has two weapons. His two favorite weapons are accusation and temptation. So he tells us, first he tempts us, and he says, because you thought about it, you might as well go on and do it, because you've already thought about it. You've already sinned, which is not true. Because we know Jesus was tempted without sin. So it's not a sin to be tempted, but he's always tempting us. And then he's accusing us. And then look what you did. You as a Christian, you would know, I can't believe you did that. And then you call yourself a man of God, a woman of God. You call yourself a youth of God. God doesn't want to talk to you. God wants to have nothing to do with you. You should be ashamed of yourself. You shouldn't even go to church ever again. And then he goes and talks to God. After he told us not to. Make a note. Satan's a liar. He's been a liar since the beginning. And that's what he does. So as we navigate through the spiritual warfare. All right, let's go. Jay, take us to Genesis 3. Let me show you. I don't know if we went here last time, but let me show you how he operates. He never tells the truth. Did you know that half of a truth is still a lie? Don't let him influence you to tell a half truth, because you're still lying. And then you're being influenced by him. Genesis 3, are you there, Jay? Genesis 3, and let's say Genesis 3 and 5. Oh, no, let's go to 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you're not going to die. That he's lying to her right there. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Family, make a note of certain things you don't even need to know. Just leave it reserved to God. But then he's lying to them. He's going to tell them they will be like God or as gods. And they were already created in God's image. They were already like God. He tries to tell our youth that you will be something if you sleep around, if you start getting high and hanging with the quote unquote cool kids. But you're already great and you're a special treasure because God has already created you like that. He told Adam and Eve, you will be like God. They were already like God. God said, let us make man in our own image in Genesis 1:26. They were already like God. Ladies, make a note. Our young ladies, make a note. When you start dialoguing with a snake, you're already in trouble. That was her first problem. Ladies, when he comes in, you know how he comes. He comes smooth. He's looking nice. He's looking good. And same thing, young men and men, you know how she comes. She looks nice. But if she's not coming according to the word, remember, it's either two people are sent in your life for two reasons, to bring you closer to God or take you further away. Amen. So either God given or either they're Satan sent. Okay. It's no in between. It's no in between with this thing. And I'm going to show you. We're going to get to another passage of scriptures. And I'm going to show you. They're either God-given or Satan-sent. It's no in between. There's Satan. He's coming. He's lying and telling them to have truth and going to be like God. But he didn't look what he didn't tell her in verse 8. He didn't tell her that. I'm sorry. Verse 7. Well, after they eat the fruit, they're. Their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. He didn't tell them that you're going to realize some things that you didn't need to know, and then you're going to try and cover up. Then verse 8, and then they hid themselves from the presence of God. He didn't tell them you're going to start hiding from God. Then verse 10, and he And he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. Didn't tell me you're going to start. Now fear comes into the picture. Because I was naked and I hid myself. He didn't tell me you're going to be afraid of God. You're going to start hiding from God. And then verse 12, he said, the woman who you gave me. Then he didn't say you're going to start blaming and being irresponsible. Instead of being God conscious, now you self-conscious. And it's the woman that you gave me. So it's her fault, God, and it's your fault because you gave her to me. He didn't tell him all that. And then look, I'm going to go here and then we'll go somewhere else. Look at Genesis chapter 4. In verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. When he was talking to Eve, he didn't tell her, look, you're going to have two sons. And one is going to kill the other because of what you're getting ready to do. Now, he didn't tell her that. He never tells the whole story. He's a liar from the beginning. Because if he would have told her all that, she would have never. Or maybe they would have. Maybe we still just do our own thing. Pastor Chuck Swindoll says he always rehearses the consequences from start to finish. God, help us to rehearse the consequences. So once I look at it, the full picture of everything, you have to think, if everything goes wrong, how does this end? And then follow God. So we're looking at the spiritual warfare. All right, let's go to John 10 and 10. I didn't tell y'all I'm going to be all over the place this morning, but I am. Let's go to John 10 and 10. So we're studying this week. God just highlighted the spiritual warfare that we all are in. Family, you are in a war. I'm in a war. I say John 10 and 10. Let's look at verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. The door in the Greek being interpreted, he's the entrance, he's the portal, he's the opportunity. Jesus said, I'm the opportunity. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, he shall be rescued. Saved, healed, rescued, made whole. So make a note, only through Jesus Christ are we made whole, not through stuff. Job understood that the only thing we take to heaven with us is other people. Amen. Somebody make a note. The only thing we take to heaven with us is other people. The stuff can't go. That's why he prayed for his kids and his family every day. That's why you and I should be praying every day. Because the only thing we take to us to heaven is other people. Jesus said, I'm the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, rescued, healed, and made whole. She'll go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is provision, is growth, increase, and progress. Through Jesus Christ, we have provision, we have growth, we have increase and progress. Somebody say amen. Then he flips the script and says, the thief, the enemy, Satan comes not but to steal, to take, to kill, which means to slaughter, and destroy, which means to ruin. Oh, man. That's a spiritual warfare. It's all he does. It's like one of my favorite movies, The Terminator. That's all he does. He's not playing around. He's not. He wants to steal. He wants to kill and destroy. It's no in between. He's not going to play with you. So, okay, we're just going to go to lunch. lady would say, well, you know, hey, I'll go out with the guy. I get a couple of free meals. But ladies, he's determined. He's not playing with you. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't play with that dude. If he's not godly, then he's influenced by Satan. And what is Satan's mission? To steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to take something from you. Young ladies in school, he's trying to take something from you. He's trying to take your mind and your heart. He's trying to take your virginity. He's not playing with you. Young men, he's trying to do the same thing. Or she or he, in these days, it doesn't even matter. They're trying to take something from you. That's all they do. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's all Satan does. It's not a game. They're not playing. Men, you think you're just going out for a cup of coffee at Starbucks, but he's out to get you. It's more, Jerry, it's more than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Young ladies, it's more than going to his house after school to study because his parents are there, and then you get there and his mom's gone somewhere. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. It's more to it. This is all he does. I remember, you know, growing up the way I did in L.A. And I got a bunch of stories to tell. Y'all know that already, right? And they get taller and taller, Sister Hazel, every time I tell them. Sister woman, they do. But I was a really, really good baseball player. I mean, like a big-time baseball player in high school. Tracy, why are you laughing? Tracy, you were there in high school. Yeah, big time. It was a couple of times where I had did really well, but they never could get my name right over the PA system. One time it was Jerome Canteen. I get my buddy say, who's Jerome Canteen? And then another time was Tyrone Carter. I'm like, I could never get my name right when I was handling business. But anyway, it's funny how you don't forget those things. I was in high school. But anyway, so the guys from the neighborhood where I grew up, they would have these softball games. And so they would say, hey, come on back. And all the homies are playing softball. But remember, this is a gang-infested neighborhood. This is in the 90s. This was 1991, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm just going to go play softball because, you know, I'm still a ball player. But they know I'm serving God. I'm into the ministry. I'm already married. 91, our youngest daughter had probably just been born, if not. And so after the game, we're all hanging out, and some guys come by shooting. Oh, Mickey, you know, Mickey, I don't have to tell you that Dinker Park. And we get shot at. I'm playing soft. After the game, I'm just hanging. But God told me, look, man, you can't play with this thing. You can't go hang out. The enemy is out there to steal, kill, and destroy. You can be at the wrong place, the wrong time, trying to do the right things and get taken out. The enemy's not playing. I'm trying to play softball. He's not playing softball. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. On another occasion, after one of my guys I looked up to in the neighborhood had gotten killed in the park. This was 93. So the next day we go and try and give our condolences or whatever. Three of my brothers were at the park too. They almost got killed. And it's this war going on. Do you guys realize that we're Christians, we're in war, but we're the only ones that don't realize it? And we don't realize that Satan's not playing. And so here I'm going, stepping into a war zone as if everything's okay. And so we're out and we're talking, and the rival gang pulls up. This is 1993. I'm at the park just trying to give my condolences. The rival gang members pulls up. I look at this dude. He's in the car. I look right into his eyes. He's in his gang attire. Couldn't have been more than 14 or 15. And just starts shooting. God says, do you realize when you're in war? I haven't been in the military, but I have been in a war zone in L.A. And whether you've been in the military or not, family, we are in the middle of a war zone. It's called spiritual warfare, and the enemy is not playing. And he's been around since the beginning of time. He wreaked havoc in Job's life with Adam and Eve. He's good at it, and we can't play with him. He's not playing. It's not just an innocent dinner. It's not just a quick cup of coffee. It's not just a quick visit. It's more to it than that. So Jesus says in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. Thank God for the grace. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life. Okay, and make a note of that. That life is Zoe in the Greek. I have come that they might have life. They might have Zoe, the full and genuine and real life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And when I looked up the word abundant, oh, it was beautiful. It says that Jesus has come that we might have Zoe, and Zoe more abundantly. Remarkable, superior, an excessive, and an excellent, extraordinary life. A very high, beyond measure type of life. That's the good news in this. We're fighting from victory. We already have the victory. We just have to go through the process, but we've already won. And there will be ups and downs in spiritual warfare, but we got to know it and know that the enemy's not playing. Job was great, godly, and rich, and his life fell apart, and he had nothing to do with it. He was in the middle of the spiritual warfare, and that's you and I as well. So as we're navigating through 2018, just know that we're in the middle of spiritual warfare, but we have the victory. Jesus Christ won when he resurrected 2018 years ago. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Good meaning beautiful, excellent, magnificent, genuine, approved, honest, and worthy. Oh, somebody say amen. And then it shifts and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. Oh, but that's not the same word Zoe. It switches and is pouske in the Greek, in the Aramaic, and it means he gives his last breath and his soul for us. Wow. He says he's the beautiful shepherd that will give his last breath for you and I, and which he did. All right, let's go back to Job. When you're there, say amen. So verse 6, Job 1 and 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, From where are you coming? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going in and going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So he said, yeah, I've just been going through the earth, just doing my thing. So I wasn't going to share. I was hesitant to share this story, but hey, I guess I'll share it. Yesterday, I was getting a pedicure. I knew I shouldn't have shared it, Sister Tara. I was forced to get a pedicure. Jerry, you know how it is. You just got to say, yes, dear. You know, that one of those things. But when I got there, the news happened to be on. And it started off with they found a guy dead in Orange County. His friend killed him or whatever. He's been arrested for that. And then it went to two men somewhere else. They were arguing over a trash can, two neighbors, and one neighbor shot the neighbor. Another neighbor is on the run. Wow. Then it went to the mudslides. Then it went to the racist stuff. And I said, man, if you don't believe Satan is going to and from the earth and just wreaking havoc, then you need to wake up. He's still doing it. That's all he does. He's not playing around. How do two neighbors get in an argument over a trash can and somebody gets shot? Because they're being influenced by Satan. That's what Satan says. Look what he says in verse 7. I'm going to and fro the earth and just walking up and down in it. I'm going to stay focused, John. I'm not going to let you get me off track this morning. And it's just, and I was kind of far away, but it was a lady, she was getting her nail done, and she was right in front. I just started praying for her, like, I hope she's not taking all that in into her spirit, because it'll have you scared to leave the house. Yes. Afraid to live. God, is this what the, and you know, it's summed up in one word, it's all bad. But we see the evidence of the spiritual warfare. And then God asked Job, have you considered my Satan, have you, my servant, Job, my slave, which means servant means slave. So make a note, you're a slave to something. You and I are a slave to something. Might as well be the one who loves us, who's the good shepherd, who's given his life for us. But we're a slave to something. Something has our mind, our heart, and controls us. Something is our motivation. You considered my slave, Job. He said, well, and here he is lying again. He only fears you because of what you can do for him. You got a hedge of protection around about him. It's the only reason. He doesn't love you because of who you are. He loves you because of what you give him. Anybody ever been in a relationship like that? It's the abnormal relationship is what Job was trying to say. God was trying to tell him he loves me out of choice because he chooses to. Not like the people who love you, Satan, out of deception. Because if they knew who you really were, they would hate you. If they knew how you were deceiving them, they would hate you. My servants love me out of love. Then he gets permission. He said, okay, well, let me take your stuff away and he'll curse you to your face. God said, okay, you got permission, but you can't touch his life. So now we pick it up at 1 and 15. So make a note, the first one, if you haven't already, the Sabaeans, which are people of Ethiopian descent. Then verse 16, they said it was God, Elohim, the Trinity. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said the Chaldeans, which are people of the Persian Gulf. Made out three bands and fell upon the camels and killed your servants. I'm the only one who escaped. And while he was yet speaking, verse 18, came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. He blamed it on the wind. He blamed it on Mother Nature. He blamed it on the environment. Hit the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men. And they are all dead. And I'm the only one escaped to tell you. So family, make a note. You're blaming four things for where you are today. And it's all spiritual warfare. It's not people. If you're still getting upset with people, you got a lot of maturing to do. It wasn't people who look like you or people who don't look like you. It wasn't God and it wasn't Mother Nature. It's controlled and orchestrated by Satan. And I'm upset with my mother and my brother and my sisters. I'm upset with my church folk. I'm upset with the people I work with, my coworkers, and it's not them. Remember, Job was great, godly, and rich. He did everything right, and his life still fell apart. No fault of his own. You don't have to be doing anything wrong for life to happen. Somebody say amen. Because we live in a fallen, broken world. You don't have to be doing anything wrong for it to fall apart. You don't have to. Verse 20, then Job rose and tore his clothes and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. Make a note, can you still worship God when everything falls apart? Can you? That's a tough night. Happy New Year. And he has a conversation later with his wife and he tells his wife, we just can't serve God when things are going good. That's not the type of relationship this is. That the only time that I come to church, the only time I read my Bible, well, you know, you don't read it when it goes good anyway. But when it goes bad, I'm going to blow the dust off. God, I need your help. But he tried to tell his wife, honey, we just can't serve God when things are going well. This is not that type of relationship. We stay connected to God through the ups and the downs. Verse 21, he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name. Can we still worship and bless God? And I don't know. To be honest, I don't think I'm there. I mean, we had that storm. Was that Tuesday night when it was raining crazy? I was like, what is going on? And then we were in a blackout. All the power went out. And I'm like, Lord, I need some help here. You know, I mean, that was just a little thing. I mean, I'm falling apart and it wasn't even nothing serious. I know I'm not where Job is at. I know that. God helped me to get there. But we just lost a little power and there was some rain. And I'm freaking out. No, what am I going to do? Somebody say amen. Help us. I can't imagine losing. And remember, we started this when we talked about Job. He was trying to justify. He was trying to question God to justify the sin that he was in. He was trying to bring God down to his level so he could feel comfortable doing what he's doing. That's what most of the world does. They want to, oh, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not, you know, God's not really real. I mean, if he was, why would it be all this? And so we try and justify it so we can be comfortable in the sin that we're in. But then when we went back and looked at it, I mean, Job, I don't blame him. I'd be frustrated. I'd be disgusted. I'd be disillusioned. God, I've done everything right. And look what's happened. But he didn't. Verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't act like an immature fool when his life fell apart. This is all review because we haven't talked in a while. Because the last time we stopped this message, it was December 17th. Then the next one, we had a Christmas message. Then it was the Youth Sunday. And so we had a special message for the youth. Then last week was Communion Sunday. And so now we're just kind of reviewing, catching back up to where we were. Is God enough? Make a note. Is God enough? In the midst of the spiritual warfare, is God enough? Do we need more in 2018? Or is God enough? 2 and 1, and then we'll go ahead and shut it down for this morning and pick up the rest next week. Job 2:1, it says, again, there was a day. Make a note. We all have our day. Speaks of time. There's a time where it just, you know, it mentions it in Job 1:6, Job 1:13. There was a day. There was a day. And then here's Job 2:1. There was a day. Family, we can't avoid the day. God is outside of time. The days are for us and things happen. We all had a day when life has changed just in that one day. All right, let me actually close with this. Let's close with Ephesians 6:10. Family, understand the spiritual warfare that we're in. Look at it through a biblical lens. Look at your life through a biblical lens. Look at every situation, every relationship through a biblical lens. In the midst of this, is this God's gift or is this Satan sent? Every business opportunity, every relationship opportunity, every ministry opportunity, everything we do, is it God's gift or is it Satan sent? It's no in between. It's not playing. And then make a note that we have the victory. We just have to go through the process. We already won the championship when Jesus Christ resurrected. Now we got to go through the process. We have to be about the Great Commission. Make a note. We have to be about the Great Commission until we transition. Amen. Let me say that one more time. What's your purpose in 2018 being about the Great Commission? To make disciples, to tell others about Christ. You should never have to guess what is my purpose in life. That is your purpose. Your method might be different, but your purpose never changes. Jesus Christ gave us the Great Commission. And we have to be about the Great Commission until we transition. I know that's a tough one because there's so many other distractions and frustrations and temptations that get in the way. Make a note of it, family. Did I say Ephesians 6 and 10? I told you, as I was studying all week, God just emphasized spiritual warfare from Job to Adam and Eve to John 10 and 10. And then here we are in Ephesians 6 and 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles, which means the schemes, the blueprint, the tricks, the gimmicks of the devil. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. For all of us in here that are serious about God, he's developing a blueprint to steal, kill, and destroy some aspect of our life. Steal your joy. Kill your dreams, your God-given purpose. Destroy, ruin your life. Ruin your ministry. Ruin your influence, your testimony. You're about to steal, kill, and destroy it. So make a note that each and every one of us in here that's serious about God, he's developing a scheme, a blueprint, a trick, a gimmick, to get you and I caught up. Never forget that. That's all he does. And he's good at it. We have to be fluent in the word so we know how to withstand the schemes and the tricks of the enemy. Verse 12, and I'll finish with this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're not wrestling against somebody at your job. Stop arguing with people on your job. Stop being upset with other people. Stop being envious. Stop hating on your siblings or whatever it is, or they're hating on you. Just get, because it's not, they're not being influenced by anything godly. And it's unproductive. The same people that we get into the arguments with are the same people we should be ministering to. And the enemy wants us to always be at odds so we never have the opportunity to minister to. Here's your family, some members in your family, and you don't even talk to them. And those are the same people that God has called you to minister to. As you're letting your light shine and be an example. It's spiritual warfare at the highest level. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. In 2018, if you don't understand anything, understand people aren't your problem. The president is not your problem. The senators, and that's not us. We had this discussion yesterday in the men's discipleship class. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. We don't need to get caught up in the world's going to do what the world is going to do. But God's called us to live on a higher level, a higher standard, to make disciples, to build his kingdom. Not get caught up in all this stuff. Don't get me wrong. You know, we're involved in politics. We do that, but we do it at a higher level. We do it at a godly level. We do it at God's standard level. And then we go to God for all the questions and the answers. Remember, we already have the victory. And the rest we'll pick up next week. I am so glad we meet weekly, so otherwise I wouldn't know what to do. I'd have to speak for like 10 hours. I am so glad we meet weekly. So we'll just pick up from next week. But if you would bow your head just for a quick minute. And Lord, we just want to pray. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I'm still at step one. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I didn't realize he was the door. I thought it was many doors. I thought it was door number one, door number two, or door number three. No, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the opportunity. He's the portal. He's the entrance. It's a free gift. It's not merit-based. It's grace-based. We couldn't earn it. For by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. We can't work for it. Once we are saved, we should work for God, but we don't work to get saved. We don't work to impress God because we never could. We just accept the free gift of salvation and do our best to live for God. So maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you now. If you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm saved. You don't have to leave out of here not knowing. Elevate your hand if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, it's 2018 and I'm still playing 2017 games. I'm stuck in 2017. But I want to rededicate my life because I want to rededicate my life to Christ. To the one who gave his life for me, I want to rededicate my life to him. If that's you, just ask God in your heart. You don't need to make a show. That's between you and God. The word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13 says, if we cover our sins, we shall not progress. But if we confess and forsake, we shall find mercy. So that's between you and God. Just ask God, God, forgive me. Let me rise to the standard. Let me take my place in the calling that you have for me and the purpose and the plan. And give me the strength and the courage to live it. That's between you and God. God, we just pray for all of us. We rededicate some aspect of our life to you. We can do better. We want to rise to the standard. We don't want to live to a lower standard. We want to rise to the standard that you have for us. We don't want to miss anything in 2018 that you have for us. And then maybe you hear you need a church home. You say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I've never made it official. I'd like to join South Bay Abundant Life Church. We're not members. We are family. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to have you as part of the family. Lord, how we love you on today. God, we need you more today than ever. We bless you on today. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for not letting us just be business as usual. Thank you for opening our eyes, giving us the wisdom to see that we're in the middle of a war and the enemy's not playing with us in 2018. God, help us not to play with him, not get involved in the games and the tricks and the gimmicks and the spider web and the blueprint of the enemy. God, help us. Help us to see it coming and go the other way, as your word says in Proverbs. Pray for your people. Pray a blessing on your people, Lord. It's the strong and mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Going to do one thing before we dismiss. Chris, can you put those in there for me? One thing that came out of our discipleship meeting yesterday, we had one of the young men in our discipleship meeting. He expressed the desire to start a young adult ministry within the church. Somebody say amen. He said, Pastor, it's kind of like a big gap between the youth. We have nursery, we have children, we have youth, and then we have seasoned saints. He said, that's too big of a gap, Pastor. Yes, it is, Sister Kathy. Yes, it is, Sister Kathy. So I'm going to ask Chris to come up, and I'm going to ask some of my young adults. Chris, stand right here. Brother David, come on up. some more of my young. Ivy, come on up too, because you're one of our young adults.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Sister Brandy, come on up.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother John Muckey, come on up too, John. Andrew, Nicole, come on up, because you're in this age range too. You guys are in college. Come on up. Or college age. Come on up. We know we have Ashley and Marquise, who's out of town, and Autumn, and Natalie's not here today. We have Justin away at college. We have Jalen away at college. Jamaica's out of town at work. But it's... we got some young adults in this church. So I'm going to ask you all to step up. And I'm going to ask some of the men, some of the our ladies, come on up and just lay hands on them with me. Some of our educators as well. Sister Lydia, if you want to come up. And so I know you and Sister Erica. On up, because I know you guys are on the front lines at St. Anthony's High School working with our youth. And Lord, we just pray for our young adult ministry, Lord, what you're birthing here through Jesus Christ, through our brother Chris, through David and Ivy, Sister Brandy, Brother Mucky. We lift up in their absence Justin and Jalen, Jamaica, Ashley, Autumn, Marquise, Natalie, Leslie. We call them out by name, Lord. We lift up Nicole and Andrew in the name of Jesus, Lord. We lift up the ministry, Lord, and we pray that it be bring glory to you. We pray that you would anoint it and approve it, Lord. Give them the form and the platform, Lord, to discuss the issues that's specific to our youth and our young adults. Let them be mentors. Let them be role models, Lord. Let them walk in the calling and purpose, Lord. We pray for those who would come to this church as a result of this ministry, Lord, that we would show the love of Christ and open our hearts and our arms to receive anyone that walks through these doors. We pray for our educators, Lord, who are on the front lines in the schools, working with our youth, letting their light shine, being an example. Cover and keep them, Lord. Pray for our teachers, Lord, our educators. We pray for the curriculum that they're going to study from, and in addition to the word. We pray for those who are going to come alongside them and help send them, Lord. God sent, Lord, we thank you. And God blessed. Pray for these young adults. Let them be strong, God. I can't imagine what they're dealing with in college, through social media, all the tricks and games that the enemy's throwing at them. Lord, let them be strong. Let them get fluent in the word. Let them stand in the word. Bless their walk, Lord. And when they fall, have them get right back up and run to you and not from you, in the name of Jesus. When that day comes, like it came with Job, let them worship you and let them bless you. And let them know that the only thing we can take to heaven is other people. Thank you, and we bless you. We pray for Roshan as well, who's another one of our young adults who's not here. Pray for him. Cover him, Lord, as he's traveling back from out of the country. We lift him up. The ministry you've placed in him, God, bring it out to your glory. Oh, we love you for this moment. And you saw this moment before we saw it. God, may they not miss anything that you have for them in 2018 and beyond. Bless these leaders. Bless these young adults. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Give somebody a hug. Stand to your feet. And you are dismissed.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
When is we supposed to do?
Dude, I've been waiting for you.